Well, good morning again. Welcome to Fork Union Baptist Church. I have to start off today thanking everybody from the bottom of my heart for all the gifts, all the money that has been given. It is just mind-blowing. And the money, the work that's gone in this year, just since January, this church has raised over $15,000 to make sure that our team could go to Zimbabwe. We only needed $13,000. When it's God's will, it's God's bill, right? Amen. I told y'all I'd heard that preached before to me when I didn't think that I'd be able to raise enough money to go on a trip one time from my pastor at the time. But I want to thank everybody, especially this morning, for the money that was donated to the Bible fund that we had for Zimbabwe. We were collecting Bibles for Liberia, but these were directly, this was funds that we had this jar up here, and we've raised over $600. When we go, because the people there speak in Shona, and they cannot speak, they don't read in English the literature, so we had no way of giving them Bibles. And we had many people last year and the year before that accepted Christ, and we were challenging them, saying, now you need to get into the Word, you need to start reading God's Word and to know the plan and the things that He has for you and what He wants you to do with your life. And they said, we don't have a Bible. And so it dawned on us, man, is there any way we can get a Bible? And so the Bibles here were $300 a piece in Shona, but they can get them there in Zimbabwe. And so I'm so excited this year that each one of us is going to go out with our book bag on every day, packed full of Bibles to give out to people that want God's Word. I am so excited about that, because that's when we're really going to see a growth in the spiritual life. That's when we're going to see growth in the people that accepted the Lord last year and the year before, when they can stay at home and they can study the Word. I am so excited. I'm so excited. And so the Bibles have already been ordered, and they're going to be waiting for us in Harare when we get into the city. And so I just cannot thank you enough for that. I'm just so encouraged, and I'm so excited that people are going to be able to read the Word in a different language. So last week we ran out of time, and we're running a little bit late today. I know we had a lot going on in the service today. We only made it from verse 12 to 15 in the book of James. So if you want to go to James, we are going to finish today, even if we run a little over. We are going to finish the book of James today. So we're going to be in chapter 5, verse 12 through 20. We're going to pick up where we left last week. We were talking about how to properly respond to the trials and temptations that life throws at us. So when you find that, let's go ahead and read it. And what we're going to do is I'm going to read the entire passage that we covered last week all the way to the end of the book. So we're going to start at verse 12 and go all the way through to the end of the book. James chapter 5, verse 12 says this: "But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no, so that you will not sin and be condemned. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then he again prayed, and Lord sent rain down to earth and began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for forgiving us of our sins, for making a way that we can be forgiven. Lord, I thank you for your Word. Lord, I thank you for your promises that you give us. Lord, as we go through the Word today, as we go through your Holy Word, Lord, I just pray that you will reveal yourself to us. Lord, that you will speak to our heart. Lord, we all deal with trials. We all deal with temptations. We may have even had to deal with one this morning. We may be battling one in our mind and in our heart right now. But Lord, I just pray whatever it is, you know. Lord, let us come to you and surrender it all to you, God. Because you are the great physician. You are the one who can heal our bodies. You are the one that can heal our spirit. And so, Lord, I just pray that today that we would just stop all the busyness, stop all the doubt. put all, rebuke the evil one, and then we'll put our trust in you this morning. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, last week we saw in verse 12 where James was telling us to tell the truth. In case you weren't here, he said, let your yes be yes and your no's be no's. Don't swear by this or that, just give a yes or no. And we get so caught up in that. It's such an easy thing to get caught up in. That's what culture, we just do it as a filler in some of the words that we use. We don't think about what we're saying. He told us to always be going to the Lord. He said, if you're in trouble, pray. If you're happy, sing praises to the Lord. If you're sick, call upon the elders of the church and have them pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And lastly, James, into verse 15, reminds us that God wants to heal us physically. While he wants to do that, while he is capable of healing us physically, he's also, and more importantly, he wants to heal us spiritually. This leads right into where we're going to pick up today. So let's read verse 16 again, and we're going to pick up at verse 16 and go all the way through. This is what James says. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human just like we are, and yet he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again. The skies sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. See, James says here, he says, when you have sinned, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Now, this isn't meaning that we should come to church every week and just air out our dirty laundry in front of everybody, okay? That's not what he's talking about. And he's not talking about you have to reveal your deep, dark secrets to everybody in the world. That's not what he's saying. We all have these areas in our life that we don't want anybody to know about, that we deal with, and the Lord can handle those. But I would also encourage you not to leave your dirty laundry hanging around this place either, because it might end up hung out on the air conditioning units on the window seals. A couple weeks ago, I had the pleasure of baptizing some people, and my wet clothes, I forgot and left them in a bag, okay? And so I left them in a bag in the kitchen, and they had sat there all week. Jenny came by to do like Meals on Wheels on Friday, and she came around. She said, I'm pretty sure your underwear are hanging on the church window seal. She sent me a picture of it, and I said, oh my goodness, what in the world? And come to find out, our wonderful secretary and office, lady who runs the office, T, had thought that she had saw me out here working on the road here in Fort Greene. She thought I was going to stop by, and so she thought she was going to play a joke on me and hang my underwear out there, but everybody else got to see it except for me. So I told her, if you pick on the pastor, you're going to get called out from the pulpit. So there it is. But this isn't what James is talking about. He's not talking about airing out your dirty laundry in front of the church. James is referring to those sins that involve other people. Maybe our sin, maybe we caused hurt or injustice to somebody. Maybe we told a lie. Maybe we offended somebody, even if we didn't mean to. Maybe we caused another Christian or another brother and sister to stumble. Or maybe we're going through something that we could use or we need to tell somebody, like a counselor or somebody or a deacon or a pastor or a brother or in Christ or a sister in Christ that can help us and to counsel us back into it. There are many times that we need to confess our sins to each other. Now, we have to understand why we confess our sins to each other. So why is he telling us that we should confess to each other? Sometimes confessing my sins to someone is simply part of the healing process. It's part of the forgiveness process that person has to give to me to be able to forgive me. Or that I have to forgive somebody else. We have to confess to each other. Brother, I did you wrong yesterday. Or I said this about you and I shouldn't have said that. Confessing our sins is part of the healing and forgiveness process. But James tells us to forgive, to confess our sins to each other so we can pray for one another. I love that. It's not just so everyone can know our business. It's not just to embarrass the sinner. It's not just so we can live under shame and say, oh, I'm just horrible. This is what I did this week. If we confess our sins to each other, we should do it because we are asking for their help. I should go to Doug and I should say, Doug, I need your help, man. I fell short this week. I need you to pray with me. This is what the devil, he tempted me this week and I fell short in it, but I need you to pray with me, brother. That's what confessing your sins to each other looks like. And if you look at verse 16, James reminds us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and it's effective. Remember, James has already assured us that a real prayer offered in faith can actually heal us. But here James assures us that the same is true with the person who needs a spiritual healing. Now I want us to notice what James says. He said, look at the words that he uses in the later part of verse 16. Look back at 16. Some different translations may say different words, but James says, this is the NLT, he says, an earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. An earnest prayer. Notice he doesn't say just a prayer. He doesn't say a fancy, well-spoken seminary degree prayer in front of the church. He says an earnest prayer. See, this word earnest means to be sincere. It's prayed with intensity. It's prayed with conviction. An earnest somebody to pray earnestly means that they're serious-minded. They're dedicated. They're zealous. They're diligent about what they're praying about. They take it serious. The King James Version says it like this. It says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. That's why I don't preach from the King James, because I have a hard time reading it. This is what it says in the later part of it. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, James is telling us that it's important to have those people in our life that will earnestly pray for us. I need somebody in my life. I need multiple people in my life that I know that they will pray for me when I come to them. They're not going to judge me. They're not going to say, oh my goodness, you're a pastor and you need me to pray for you about that. No, I need those people in my life that love me enough to say, I'm going to stop this morning when I'm praying and I'm going to pray for Anthony. But listen to me, church. This means that we should also be that other person in someone's life. We are to confess our sins to each other so we can pray for each other and be healed. This is when we begin to see powerful results in our life. Sometimes I'll come in here and I'll pray, and I'll be praying, and I think about these verses, and I think about that, and I think about how many of you I know pray for me. And I almost picture, because you always kind of sit in the same place, you know what I mean, in the church. And so I'll sit there sometimes, and I'll be in here praying by myself, and I'll go around, and I can picture the different faces. And I have to think real hard, and I just picture the different faces. And sometimes I may forget somebody, and sometimes I'll forget another person the next day and remember another person. I just pray for these faces that stick out of me, and I pray for you. And I say, God, whatever they're dealing with this week, I pray that you'll be with them, help them, be with them. We need people in our life to pray, and I need people to pray for me like that. Look at verse 17 and 18. It says this. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly, he uses that word again, that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again. The sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. See, Elijah is an excellent example of what powerful prayer looks like. He was human. He was no different than you and me. He was a man that dealt with the same temptations and trials that we deal with. And yet Elijah earnestly prayed for it not to rain. I would encourage you, if you want to read this story, go to 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18 this week. If you want something to read, go to 1 Kings 17 and 18. You can see exactly what James is talking about. He prayed for it not to rain for 3.5 years, and not a single drop of rain fell. And then he prayed again, and the rain began to fall, and God sent the rain, and the crops began to come back. The point is this: real prayer offered in faith has great power, and it's effective. It's effective. It's real. It's not hocus pocus. It's not something that we just wish upon a well. And real prayer offered by a righteous person, that effectual, fervent prayer, is powerful. God hears our prayers. God answers our prayers. Listen to what Jesus himself promises us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. He says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. That's a promise from our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. John chapter 15 verse 7, Jesus says this, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. He says this in John chapter 16, verse 24. He says, you haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. There's such power when we speak the name of Jesus. There's such power, whatever trial, whatever temptation we're going through. We talked about that earlier, but when we just stop and we say, Lord, I just speak the name of Jesus over this. There's power in the name of Jesus. So often we forfeit what God wants to do. So often we forfeit what God can do simply because we do not ask and we do not believe that He can do it. We do not ask earnestly. We do not ask with zeal. We do not ask. We do not pray with that serious mind and that dedication that Jesus was talking about. We might go like this. We might go, "Hey Lord, can you maybe answer this for me?" That's not a very earnest. That doesn't sound like somebody who's knocking and knocking and seeking and looking for something. Jesus is saying this. James is reiterating exactly what Jesus told us. Come knocking, come seeking, come looking if you really want to find what the Lord wants and wants to do for you. If we want to overcome the trials and temptations in life, we had better take our prayer life seriously. I'm preaching to myself here this morning. Look at verses 19 and 20. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins. Now here's James giving us a very common trial to every believer, every person in life, a temptation that we all have to deal with in life. So often we know a brother or sister in Christ that is backsliding. And we see them going down that dangerous path. They start dipping into sin. They start drifting away from the Word. They're not living right. And we choose not to address it because we don't want to offend them, right? I don't know. That's maybe somebody else will bring that up to them. Or maybe we are the ones that are doing the backsliding. Maybe I'm backsliding and you guys are like, "Man, our pastor's kind of slipping, but it's kind of awkward. He's our pastor. Like, I don't really want to call him out on that, you know?" Either way, it's a real temptation that every Christian that's ever walked upon the earth has had to deal with. Dipping back into the world, losing focus and starting to want to go after our lust and the things that we want to go after, that fulfill our immediate desires. James says here, when one of us wanders away from the truth, we are to bring them back. We're to actively go out and seek after them and say, "This isn't good for you, brother. You need to come back. Sister, you need to come back. We love you. We miss you at church. I see what you're going through. This isn't going to be good for you. You need to come back. I've been down this road before. I know. I can tell you. It doesn't end well." It takes a truly concerned, deep, loving brother and sister in Christ to put their neck on the line and to confront another believer like this. It's awkward. It is uncomfortable. It's risky. That person might never speak to you again. They eventually will, but it might be a while. But what a different place the church would be. What a different place the church would be. What a different place the whole world would be if we loved each other enough to actually be willing to step out of our comfort zone and to confront each other in love like this. The world says today that if we speak against something or if we bring something up to someone's attention, that we're filled with hatred. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, we shouldn't come to them and we shouldn't, you know, stand in front of their house with a picket sign saying, "This person's a sinner and they're falling short." Okay, that's not what James is talking. He's saying going to one-on-one in love and say, "Listen, this isn't good for you. I'm worried about you. I've been praying for you. You need to come back. Come back to the truth." And we ourselves don't want to be confronted ourselves when we're the one that actually is doing the backsliding. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. We get offended. And we say, "Well, how dare them? They're not perfect. Why are they coming to me and tell me that? I know they've done this before." But if someone loves you enough to come, if someone in this congregation loves me enough to come and confront me when I'm backsliding, eventually, it might take a while, I'm going to praise God for that person. And we're going to grow closer together because I knew when nobody else had the courage to do it, that person had the courage to say, "Anthony, you need to shape up a little bit, man. You need to watch out. You're on a slippery slope." Does that make sense this morning? But the one who has the courage to lovingly bring back the one who wanders away will save them from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins. That's what James told us. As believers, that's their whole purpose. We should always be pointing others to Christ. With our life, with our words, everything that we do should be pointing others to Christ. Psalm 32:1, David wrote about this. He said, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight." 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land." What a great promise this morning. That's the whole purpose of this study, the book that we've been going through, James. We've talked a lot about trials and temptations. It's to show us what God really wants from us, what God really wants from His followers, what God really wants from His children. It's for us to repent of our sin and to return to Him. That's what He wants. We are His children. He doesn't want us separated by the worldly junk that we get tangled up in. So whether it's struggling with counting it all joy when we go through trials and temptations, whether it's struggling to put our faith into action that James talked about in chapter 2 with faith without works, whether it's struggling to control our tongue, whether it's divided loyalty between God and the world, whether it's hoarding our wealth, I don't know if I can really raise my hand on that one, or whether it's struggling to pray or maybe to even share our needs with other believers, to humble ourselves and to say, brother or sister, I need you to pray for me. God wants us to repent this morning, and He wants us to return to Him. So as we close today, I want to tell you this. We're going to sing this last song, and I got to say I'm so thankful to have our brother John back and Andrew and his family. I'm thankful for so much that he does, and I always switch up things on him. He always has the music planned out by Wednesday. He's prepared, and I call him on like Saturday night. I'm like, hey, I want to do this song as the invitation song. Can we switch it or whatever? And so I'm thankful this morning. We're going to sing this last song. It ties right in. And I want to give us each an opportunity to respond this morning. What trial or temptation are you dealing with this morning? God already knows about it. What area do you need to let God have control over this morning? We're going to sing this song. It's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And it talks about taking everything to Him in prayer. I want to encourage you this morning to come and be restored this morning, like David was talking about in Psalm 32:1. Come and be healed this morning. I don't know if you need physical healing, if you need spiritual healing. Come and be forgiven. Come, maybe you just need to come and pray this morning. I don't know what it is. Whatever God is leading you to this morning, as we sing this song, hymn number 182, I just pray that you'll come this morning as we sing. And we're going to have some prayer time after that, and we're going to take up another offering afterwards for our benevolence and all that, and I'll explain that. But this morning, before we get into the closing of the service, if God is calling you this morning, if there's something that you need prayer, I would love to pray with you. I would love to pray with you this morning. I'd love to be that person that gets to pray with you this morning for whatever God has laid on your heart or whatever you need prayer for this morning. Amen? Hymn number 182, let's sing. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Come if the Lord is calling.